second thing I'd like to read is from the collection Kuba Ajahn, put together by Ajahn Chandako and translated by Ajahn Chandako, I believe. This is about Ajahn Tanajan Tongrat, who is a disciple of Ajahn Mun and a teacher of Ajahn Shah. And it was related to the monks from Wat Pananashat by Longpo Gi, who was a disciple of Tanajan Tongrat. Or is. He might be still alive. I don't know. Is he still alive, Longpo Gi?
Oh, no, he died. I mean, more. I think before Ajahn Chah.
Oh, okay.
Around that time. I think before, just before.
Tanajan Tongrat Kantasilo was a disciple of Longpo Man Buridatta and Longpo Sao Kantasilo. He was of the same generation of disciples as Tanajan Singh Kantayamo and Tanajan Du Achalatamo. He was born at Sampong village and ordained at the village monastery. He stayed there 5 pansas and learned the Padimokkha. However, he still had some doubts regarding the Vinaya. Because he couldn't understand the meaning of some of the rules, he began to search for a Kruba Ajahn who could clarify the matter. After hearing of the reputations of Longpo Mun and Longpo Sao, he set off traveling to pay respects to, study with, and converse with them. Both the teachers explained the essentials of correct practice, practice in line with Dhamma and Vinaya, from the Patthasambhut, a 19th century Thai commentarial classic in verse form, and the Vinaya texts, until Venerable Tongrat understood. He was so satisfied with the explanations that he asked to become their disciple and stay at their monastery. Both of the Venerable Ajahns trained him, instructing him to practice in accordance with the Vinaya and all its details. Concerning the practice of meditation, Longpo Mun and Longpo Sao recommended that Venerable Tongrat go and find a place in the forest suitable for Bhavana, especially a place with tigers, or that was rumored to have a malevolent ghost. The best would be a cremation ground that had corpses carried in each day so that the citta would become unwaveringly firm and Dhamma would quickly arise. They recommended that he study the Buddhist texts Visuddhimagga and Mun Mahakan. These were to be studied only in order to have a well-rounded understanding, not to be memorized in order to give Dhamma talks. Both of the Ajahns reiterated, "Don't go giving Dhamma talks, Venerable Tong. First meditate until you've accomplished in Bhavana. If you're in too much of a hurry to give Dhamma talks, the Dhamma inside won't have a chance to do any teaching." Tanajan Tongrat then practiced, strictly following their advice. Life in the jungle was one of extreme impoverishment. The 4 requisites were in short supply. There were no cups, no kettles. He had to use a section of bamboo and drill a hole in it to thread a shoulder strap. He had to filter his drinking water. On alms round, he'd only get plain rice. When it was time to eat, he'd chew it thoroughly. On those days when he'd get 1 banana, he'd be elated. The villagers weren't very clued in. Generally, they understood that meditation monks didn't eat meat, that they only ate sesame seeds like people from India. He'd go on alms round to 4 or 5 houses, get enough rice to fill him up, and then quit. He didn't have a cloak. If there were lots of mosquitoes, then he would cover himself with his robe folded in half. The sangati was used in place of a pillow or blanket. Sometimes he would sleep with his head resting on a root of a tree or on his own fist. On those times when he'd stay near where the villagers threshed their rice, he could ask for some old rice stalks to roll up in a bundle, cover it with a folded cloth, and use that as a pillow. If a villager happened by, he could help by breaking off a branch so the leaves could be used. He would even take some vines, tie them together, and cover them with a bathing cloth, and that would substitute for a pillow. Lying down, he would focus on his bhavana. Sometimes the water buffalo herders would pass by, and finding him sitting in the cremation ground, they'd tease him and make fun of him in various ways. "Is this monk crazy or what? He's been sitting here for 2 or 3 days." Some people would approach, bow to him, then pretending to be serious, ask in jest, "Would you like to chew some betel nut? Do you smoke cigarettes, Ajahn?" Ajahn would respond, "If there is some, I chew it. If not, I don't. If there are any, I smoke them. If not, I don't." This is just one example, but they were just asking to ask. Not once did they actually offer him anything. There were a few occasions when some villagers would come and request Dhamma teachings. Teach us some Dhamma, Venerable. I'm still new to the practice. My Kruba Ajahns won't allow me to give Dhamma talks yet. Well, what about that book you've got there? Give us a Dhamma teaching from the book. They gave me this book simply for me to read, telling me not to use it for Dhamma talks. They told me to wait for the Dhamma inside to express itself, then start teaching others, he explained to the villagers, in the same way as his Kruba Ajahns had stressed so emphatically to him. He did, however, give the villagers the five precepts so that they would be satisfied with having made merit. Venerable Tongrut practiced and developed meditation like this for 4 years. Only very rarely did he go to pay his respects to his teachers, and then for only 2 or 3 days or maybe a week. Once he'd heard some Dhamma teachings, they'd chase him back out there to meditate, and the places they'd sent him to were all fear-inspiring. Staying in the forest for extended periods of time, his possessions became old and worn. His bathing cloth was ripped. His jiwan was disintegrated. No one offered to provide him with requisites, and he didn't have any relatives there. He couldn't ask lay people to provide things because it was against the Vinaya, so when his robes ripped, he'd mend them. There were patches everywhere. He spent a lot of time sewing, and the thread he'd brought with him ran out. When he found some yellow bark on a tree that had recently died, he'd take a knife and gently pare it off. Once the bark was stripped off, he'd weave it into the robe. Each time he bathed, he had to wait until there were no women in the area. He'd bathe in the forest, hopping just like a frog. As things got increasingly worse, Venerable Tongrut began to think of his home. He missed his two younger sisters and his older brother, a government official at Sampong village. He came up with the idea to return and spend the Pansa at his home village. That way he could ask for some cloth from his younger sister. But when he went to respectfully present the idea to his two teachers, Lompo Mun immediately scolded him. Ha! So you said you wanted to receive some Dhamma from the teachers Mun and Sao, but after a little bit of practice you get homesick. Your house's pillars at Sampong are firmly sunk into the earth. Whenever you go back there, they'll be there for you to see. What's difficult is this practice of Dhamma, that is, if you haven't yet realized Dhamma. Your house is just the same as it always was. You want to attain Magga and Pala. Do you think that longing for your home while meditating will do the trick? His Kruba Ajahn repeated this 2 or 3 times in a similar manner. Fearing further reprimands from his teacher, Tan Tongrut took leave and returned to meditate for a few days. Taking into consideration how his teacher spoke to him, he reflected on what the best thing to do would be. Once he thought it through, he went back to pay his respects again. "Excuse me, Venerable Sir, where are you going to have me spend Vasa this year? It's already July, so please give the matter some consideration." Lompo Mung sat and focused his mind internally, then said, "Prabhot Cave, Tan Tong. Go and stay at Prabhot Cave, all right?" "Prabhot Cave? Everyone who goes and stays there dies." "If they don't die, they go mad. They become crippled. That's what they say. How can you send me there to stay? What will protect me?" "The 4 Brahma Viharas. This is what should be done." "Can you handle it, Tan Tong?" "Yes, sir." "Okay, that's the spirit. May your practice progress, Tan Tong." That Pansa, there was no choice but to go stay at Prabhot Cave. He stayed in the cavern, meditating in solitude. If he heard the sound of owls calling each other, he'd lay down to sleep. The forest birds signaled the beginning of a new day when they left to look for food, calling out to each other, "Chai, chai." Emerging from the cave, he'd walk cross-country through the mist about 4 kilometers and then some before he reached the place for going on alms round. If he walked briskly, he could get there in an hour. Walking slowly, it took longer than that. Time rolled by until a full moon of September. Traditionally, on full moon days, the villagers would go to the monastery to make merit. It was a bright, clear night as Venerable Tongrut sat in meditation inside the cave. At that moment, there occurred a loud noise. Loud crashing sounds, Fear began to arise. What could those possibly be stomping down the mountainsides toward him? Whatever they were, when they reached the mouth of the cave, they jumped down, grabbed each other, and began to wrestle. Their deafening yells reverberated throughout the mountain, and it shook as if it were about to collapse. Venerable Tongrut thought he'd go and have a look to see what was making the noise. He almost went. Then he thought, if I go out there, I'll probably die just like all the others in the stories I've heard. Furthermore, whatever they're doing, that's their own business. Whether it's an animal, a ghost, or an evil spirit, that's not my business. I came here to meditate, so I'll just carry on with my practice. We don't have to have anything to do with each other. Once he considered it in this way, he could continue on focusing his mind. But every hair was standing on end. He sat there watching his mind. From that moment on, Venerable Tongrut's meditation became truly accomplished. The Dhamma gushed forth. As the Dhamma arose, so did an irresistible desire to teach the Dhamma. So he sat there all alone giving a Dhamma talk. For 7 days and 7 nights, he continued on. Even if someone had tried to sew his mouth shut, the needle probably would have broken, or else his mouth would have ripped. He was proclaiming the dispensation of the Lord Buddha. He thundered against the corrupt monks of his time, especially those who abused positions of power. It wasn't enough just to teach within the borders of Thailand, so as he taught, his words reached foreign lands as well, Malaysia, England, and other Western countries. The Dhamma teachings flowed forth. Each day he only ate 3 bites of food, one for the Buddha, one for the Dhamma, and one for the Sangha. He taught untiringly with no need of sleep. Completely alone, he gave Dhamma talks day and night like a maniac, getting thinner all the time. Tanajan, are you feeling sick? A layman asked him on alms round. No. Are you able to eat all right? Just fine. Suspicious, the layman thought to himself, I can't believe that if he's able to eat that, he's not sick. He's so thin, his eyes have sunken deeply. I better follow him and have a look. The man secretly followed Venerable Tongrut back, and sure enough, he saw the monk eat just 3 mouthfuls of food, one for the Buddha, one for the Dhamma, and one for the Sangha. The layman then protested, How can you tell me you have no problem eating, that you're not sick? You only eat 3 bites. You're so thin, your eyes are hollow and empty. Why did you deceive me? Listening to the man, Tanajan reconsidered. With his hair standing on end, he suddenly realized, I misled him. And he returned to focusing awareness on his citta. From that time on, his heart had reached fulfillment. But he still had this desire to give Dhamma talks. He eagerly awaited the end of the pansa, so he could go tell Lompo Man. It was only 2 days after the end of pansa before he arrived to see his teacher and recount all his experiences. He described the various states of mind that had occurred and all that had taken place. Once he finished telling his story, Lompo Man concluded, that's good, Tan Tong. Your citta is now at the same level as my own. Now you can teach, Venerable Tong. Teach to your heart's content. Uncover your platter of rice for all to see. Teach the Dhamma. There's now no need to fear teaching. Reveal it all, just as if you were serving a feast. From that point on, Tanajan Tongrat wandered about looking for situations to teach the Dhamma. Around the villages of Tanton and Pujan, there were large communities and large audiences for his Dhamma talks. At that time, he became a constant companion of Lompo Sao. He felt a debt of gratitude to his teacher for all he'd given him. Whenever Lompo Sao asked him to accompany him, he'd go. Wherever he was asked to stay, he'd stay. Having gone to Ubon, Lompo Sao requested Tanajan Tongrut to spend the pansa at Siton, saying, There are many good people here. There are many bad as well. Until Lompo Sao's passing away, Tanajan Tongrut attended on and served him. When I later asked Tanajan Tongrut about his practice experiences during that 10th pansa in Prapot Cave, the answer was brief. It was like I had climbed to the top of the tallest tree. There was nowhere else to go. How would you describe the citta of a person who has finished their spiritual work? Sati pasati, mindfulness and tranquility. Sati is ever present. The deep peace of pasati is ever present. In the citta, there are no thoughts of harming. It's just like a water buffalo that has been trained to plow the rice paddies. When it's time to turn around, it turns by itself. You don't have to pull on its rope much. For anyone who's cared for their chitta to this extent, the chitta then takes care of itself.